Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. In person, we meet at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. You can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and click on the link for the live stream, or you can always click on our YouTubes, or you can click on our weekly messages that are recorded there. At the Seed, it's our prayer that we grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we sow seeds of faith. To be honest with you, this past week has been another one of those weeks in ministry. As I was driving home from another meeting, I thought to myself, God, I want to talk to you. Have you ever had that conversation? I have. I have that conversation with God a lot of times. I was driving and I said, God, I want to talk to you. Sunday's coming again and I'm not ready and I don't have enough time. Why are there 52 Sundays in a year? God, that's a lot of Sundays to read, write, prepare, and preach a message. Well, as you can see, I was feeling a little sorry for myself. My wife would say that I was having a pity party. You know, that's like when you're feeling sorry for yourself. Well, when I have a pity party, she tells me that she's not invited and she's not coming to the party. I came home and told my wife I was tired and that there should not be 52 Sundays in a year. She told me that she had the same conversation with God that same afternoon, and she was having a pity party too. She's been really super busy, and I think she was tired. And over dinner, she told me that almost the very same thing that I said to God. She told God that she was getting tired of laying her life down for Him. She said, as soon as I said that, God told me, well, I never regret laying my life down for you. Wow. I don't know if you've ever had those conversations with God. My wife has, I have. We sat at the dinner table, well, we had to laugh at ourselves. If my wife and I were having a pity party on the same day at the same time, I wonder how many of you are throwing your own pity parties right now. Pity party people. Well, that's the message for this day. You know, two Sundays ago, we celebrated, or I shared a message about the miracle of miracles. Jesus is risen and the tomb is empty. And we had a powerful message from, at the Seed, we had a powerful message from Jody Collins, who talked about forgiveness and the wonderful miracle given to us by forgiveness. Forgiveness is a miracle that we can share every day. We can forgive others and they are forgiven, or we can forgive ourselves and we are forgiven. Forgiveness really is a gift we give ourselves. We've been looking at the miracles that are found in John, and we've looked at five of them. We've looked at the miracle of the water into wine. We heard the miracle of the royal official's son being healed from afar. We've been amazed at the healing of the crippled man who laid on a mat for 38 years. I love the question that Jesus asked him. I always say it to people, well, do you want to get well? I can tell you one thing. When people come to me, and I do a lot of pastoral counseling, and people come to me, I have a chair in my office and I have a blanket of Jesus on it, but I tell people, I can't heal you, but I know someone who can. And I ask everyone that comes to me to come to Jesus. And that's what Jesus says to the man that's crippled for 38 years, do you want to get well? We've read the amazing story of the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children, and with five small barley loaves and two salted fish. It really is the feeding of, well, maybe 10, 15, 20,000. Talk about a miracle. We spent some time with Jesus and his visit with Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died. Jesus wept. Don't you think Jesus doesn't see you and care about you? Then out of his compassion, Jesus called Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days, to come out of the tomb and out from the grave, walking, living Lazarus. The scene was one of the greatest miracles that set that scene of Lazarus raising from the dead set the scene for one of the greatest miracles. Jesus is resurrected, the tomb is empty, and Jesus is alive. Well, as I attended my pity party this past week, I heard, this is what I heard from the Holy Spirit. Dave, Easter is why there are 52 Sundays in a year. That's all I heard. Easter is why there's 52 Sundays in a year. And you're so blessed to be able to proclaim the hope and power of the resurrection. Well, that's what I get to do week after week. And just like that, my pity party was over. Today, we're going to take a look at another of Jesus's miracles found in the Gospel of John. Well, let us look at the story found in John chapter 6. The miracle comes right after the feeding of the, 5, 10, 15, 20,000 people. Before we go to God's Word, let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord God of all creation, you call us to put all our hope and faith in you. Yet there are times when it is dark, and the waves and the storms of life come crashing in on us. The morning I just say, Lord, this day, come into our lifeboats and still the storms that rage around us. May our eyes be open to see you today, and may our ears ever be ready to hear what the Spirit is saying as we read and study your living word. Amen. John, we got a brief passage today, John 6, 16 to 21. John 6, 16 to 21. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they had got into a boat and set across the lake of Capernaum. But now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or maybe 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Well, if you're taking notes today, there are 4 points to this message. They're pretty simple points. Jesus sends us, Jesus sees us, Jesus stills the storm around and within us, and Jesus saves us. Jesus sees us, that's the point. Enter into this story for a few minutes. Jesus and his disciples got up early in the morning, rowed their boats across the Sea of Galilee. They landed on the far side of the sea around Bethsaida. A very large crowd follows them. Jesus has compassion on them and wants to feed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish from a young boy. Jesus blesses and breaks the loaves of bread, and 5,000 men plus women and children are fed. Well, and do you know, when we read that story a few weeks ago, there were 12 baskets left over? Scholars say that there was really more like 15,000 to 20,000 people, counting the women and children. Enter into that story. We've just rowed across the Sea of Galilee over to Bethsaida. We got up early, we rowed all day, got over to the other side, and we're followed by a huge crowd. Everyone is hungry. Jesus is breaking the bread and fish. The disciples are running around handing out bread and fish to thousands of people. Can you imagine how tired the disciples are? Can you imagine feeding 20,000 people? Being tired must be one main ingredient for throwing yourself a pity party. The disciples had rowed their boat 6.5 to 7 miles across the Sea of Galilee and now are working in the hot sun feeding 20,000 people. They finally get all done feeding the multitude of people. They pick up all the leftovers, and Jesus now sends them back across the sea to Capernaum. We're told that it is evening. Now, do you see this? They've worked all day. They've worked all day. Now he says, get back in the boat and cross over to the other side. Jesus tells them to get in their boats and row back across the sea in the dark. Oh, work, work, work. Is there anybody listening who feels the same way? work, work, work. John does not tell us that Jesus told them to get in the boats, but in Mark's account and Matthew's account, we read that it is Jesus who sends them. Matthew records it this way: immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds, Matthew 14:22. This is a story of faith from beginning to end. Matthew 14:22 tells us Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. The word made could also be translated compelled, to compel by force or persuasion or constraint. Kind of makes me think that just maybe the disciples were too tired to get into the boat. I don't know all the struggles, battles, confrontations, difficult situations, and fearful conditions you might find yourself in day after day. I'd like to suggest that sometimes it is Jesus who has sent you into the storms you face. Did you hear me? I'd like to suggest that it's Jesus who sends you into the storms you face. Not just a sidebar for a minute, not all the storms we face in life are directly brought onto us by Jesus. Well, we are human, and we definitely make our share of sins and mistakes that cause us pain and confusion. We also fight a common enemy called the devil or evil, who wants to steal, kill, and destroy us, John 10:10. Maybe a good so what question here is, why would Jesus send his disciples out on the lake at night by themselves? Why does Jesus send us out into the dark at night to face the storms of life while he is on the mountain alone with God, having some QT quiet time? Let's think about that. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team would love to pray with you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon and list your prayer, and we will pray for you. God wants you to be prayed for. Connect with us. I think a good so what question as we think about this: why would Jesus send his disciples out on the lake at night? Why does Jesus send us out in the dark at night, especially when we have to be in storms, while he's on the mountain, on a mountain alone with God, having some quiet time with God? In youth group, we used to do something called TAWG, T-A-W-G, time alone with God. Yep, that's what the disciples working all day and night, and they probably wanted some time alone with God, but no. Jesus says, I'm going to go have some quiet time, and you're going to work some more. Our Lord is saying to us, those of you who have decided to follow me as your Savior are going to be sailing your vessels into the winds of life. You're going to have trouble, but obey anyway. There are two ways to get into storms. One is to flee God's will, like Jonah did. A great storm blew, and he ended up in the belly of a big fish. That is a different from the disciples' situation. They were in the midst of a storm because they were obedient, not disobedient. They were obedient to Jesus or to God. Those of us who have decided to follow Jesus and give him all of our allegiances will face contrary winds, no doubt about it. So point one, I want you to make and write this down. Jesus sends us into the storms of life. Jesus sends us into the storms of life, but point two is so important. Jesus sees us. No matter what the storm is that you're facing, if Jesus sent you, Jesus sees you. And that even goes if you created the storm yourself by being disobedient. It's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus sees you in the storms of life. We're told in our story that Jesus sent the disciples back into the boat knowing there would be a storm. On the other hand, Jesus went up on the mountain to be alone with his Father. Well, put yourself in the story. Are you here? We're tired. We poured ourselves out all day, and now we're headed to home, sweet home. We too need to spend time alone with God, but that's totally a different sermon, isn't it? Jesus is up on the mountain with God alone. Did you know that in the scripture, a mountain is often used as a symbol of a place of authority? Jesus up in a place of authority, and he sees his disciples struggling. Mark's account of this tells us that Jesus saw them. Listen to how Mark tells the story in Mark chapter 6. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. It was about to pass them by when they saw him walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they saw him and were terrified. The Greek word for he saw, Jesus saw, he saw, is a verb, and it means that Jesus understood. Jesus perceived. Jesus knew. Jesus paid attention. Jesus saw them. What a powerful thought. Jesus knows, perceives, pays attention, and sees us in the storms of our life. And not just in one storm, but in every storm we're in during our lifetime. Powerful thought. Not only are the disciples in the storm, but some scholars suggest that waves could have been up to 5 feet tall. There have been recorded 10-foot waves on the Sea of Galilee that caused damage to the modern town of Tiberias. We do not know how big the waves were. They could have been 3 foot or 10 foot. These were experienced fishermen. The water was sloshing into the boat, soaking all the disciples in the dark and the cold of night. We are told that it's the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And enter in Jesus. Jesus came to his threatened, frightened, and scared disciples during the darkest part of the night, walking on the water. Jesus came to his disciples when they were exhausted, miserable, tired, and afraid. They were wondering if they were going to survive the storm. Can you relate? Only then did the Lord come. Boy, does that sound familiar to me. Take heart. Jesus sends us into the storms of life. Jesus sees us in the storms of our life. And the happy note is Jesus stills the storms, and he stills the storms in us. Here comes the miracle. Jesus comes walking on the water. Now, remember, the waves are 3 foot tall. The lake is not calm. Jesus is not only a miracle winemaker. Jesus is not only a healer. Jesus is now a wave walker and a death defeater. We just went to our grandchildren's Little League baseball finals, and we went to a track meet. We watched them run, jump, throw. What an amazing athletic talent it takes to compete in running and field events. I thought wrestling was hard because that's what I did. I still referee high school wrestling. I read the other day that you would have to sprint 67 miles an hour to actually walk on water. Did you hear me? You have to sprint 67 miles an hour to walk on water. The fastest recorded foot speed is 27.79 miles an hour by the Jamaican Olympian gold medalist Usain Bolt. Reaching 67 miles an hour would require 15 more times the energy than the human body is capable of expending. Jesus comes up alongside the boat and says to the disciples, "It is I. Don't be afraid." They were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The Greek word for "it is I" is ego eimi, which translated, "I am." I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. I am the burning bush. I am the fiery furnace. I'm in the fiery furnace with you. I'm in the lion's den with you. I am with you when you are swallowed by a big fish or facing a giant like Goliath. I am with you as you cross your Red Sea or Jordan River. I am who I am. Do not be afraid. That's a lot in two little words. Ego eimi, I am. Just read the stories of the Bible and see where God is with his people. Our son had a football coach who would always tell the boys when the game was getting difficult, "I don't care how rough the waters are, just bring the ship home." Well, friends, the waters were rough for the disciples, but with Jesus' help, the storm was stilled and they could bring the ship home. In an instant, the disciples' attitude changed 180 degrees from frightened and fearful to faithful disciples again. A moment before, they were totally afraid or fearing for their lives. Then they heard the voice of Christ. Note, that he did not say, don't be afraid, before he said, it is I. When we focus upon Christ, we begin to find and receive our help. There was once a king who offered a prize to an artist who would paint the best picture of peace. Painting pictures from painters from all around everywhere came because they wanted to get the prize. The day came to announce the winner. The king surveyed all the pictures after picture, a calm lake, an ocean sunset, a flock of sheep on a grassy hill, blue sky with fluffy clouds, a lake with majestic mountains in the background. The king uncovered the last picture. Rugged mountains, angry sky. It was raining and lightning, and a waterfall tumbled down the cliff. It did not look peaceful, but look at the cold and penetrating. Deep in the painting was a little bird in a nest on a branch of a tree. The branch was leaning over the tumultuous waterfall, yet there in the midst of all that turbulence sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Remember this, if Jesus sent you, Jesus sees you, and Jesus will either calm the storm like he did for the disciples in the boat, or Jesus will still or calm you. Like in this picture, this mother bird in her nest, safely hidden from the storm raging all around her. Jesus saves us too. Missionary pilot Forrest Zander shared some of his experience in his book, The Faithfulness Reaches to the Sky. On one occasion, Zander and his co-pilot were crossing the Andes Mountains in Colombia, crossing at 16,000 feet, which they were wearing their oxygen masks. As he watched the fuel gauges, he was alarmed to see that the needles going down much faster than expected. There was a problem somewhere, and Zander still had the last three ranges of the Andes to cross. He needed to refuel somewhere. No commercial airports were near, and alternative airstrips were rare. Having cleared the highest mountain peak and passed the foothills on the eastern side, Zander quickly descended to preserve fuel and look for a place to land. Then he spotted an airstrip at the foot of the mountains. But what about fuel? Would they have any? Circling the airstrip, he saw containers of aviation-grade fuel guarded by a contingent of armed soldiers. Drug dealers used that airstrip. Zander had no choice but to land and was immediately surrounded by guards with their guns. When he explained the problem, the commander offered to give him the fuel, but as he refueled, a black storm cloud approached. The entire group of missionaries and soldiers fled to a protected area. It was a perfect setup. As the rain pattered and pounded the roof, Zander read to the men from his Spanish Bible, shared the gospel with them, and left the Bible with them. Zander wrote in his book, "Then joyfully we departed, realizing again that our time here in the Lord's hand. Sometimes delays and problems are his ways of opening doors to new opportunities to love people and to serve him." I remember when I received my first call as a pastor to a rural church in Missouri, a call to the church. Well, it was a tough call. It was a long story, and it's another story for another day. After being in the ministry for a year, I was at a breaking point and ready to throw in the towel. I said to myself, I gave up everything to follow God, and this is it? I was in the middle of the lake trying to row the ship home. It was dark. It was one of the darkest times I ever experienced. I was sure that I was a failure and the boat of ministry was to sink. And that's another story, and I'll complete that story on another day. But I can tell you there's a song from Third Day, and it's called My Hope Is You. And I listened to that song over and over again, and I stood up and I sang that song, My Hope Is You. My prayer is that you're going to know that wherever you're at, Jesus sends you, Jesus sees you, Jesus will still the storm or still you in the midst of the storm, and Jesus will save you. Let us pray. Lord God, our hope is in you. May you come and greet us and meet us in the midst of our storms, for we know that you see us. In Jesus' name we pray. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.